Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Going to read this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 22, Texts 5 and 6. The title of the chapter is The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, and a little background. Who is Kardama Muni and who is Devahuti? Kardama Muni is one of the direct sons of Lord Brahma. And Devahuti is the daughter of one of the direct praja from Lord Brahma. In the sequence of Visarga, Sarga and Visarga are two of the 10 principal topics of the Bhagavatam, described in Canto 2, Chapter 10, the first verse. The 10 topics are identified. Sarga and Visarga are two of those 10. Sarga is the creation of Lord Vishnu, and Visarga is the sub-creation of Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma being produced in the process of Sarga is there. And again, well, between Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Brahma Samhita, which I'm very fond of now, how that whole process works is fascinating, say the least. And so once Brahma is ready, he's fully self-realized. At least our particular Lord Brahma has not only understood his constitutional position as an eternal servant of the Lord, but he's understood his spiritual identity as a maidservant of Krishna. At the same time, he has a desire to create, maidservant of Krishna with a desire to create the universe. That's the last part of Brahma Samhita, the last six verses. So he's now creating. He has the ingredients, he has the plan, he knows the karma of all living entities. Imagine that space on your hard drive. All the karma of all living entities. And he knows the varieties of species that match those karmas and their desires. So he starts putting the universe together. And to fill up the universe, he needs good praja, offspring. So the first-born entities or beings are the four Kumaras. They decline to take up that service. Brahma becomes unhappy with that. From his brow comes Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva expands into 11 Rudras and starts tearing up the universe. And one of them even is attacking Brahma, and he says, stop. You can do your destroying program later. For now, just do penance and you'll be pacified. I'll let you know when it's time to destroy the universe. Just go do penance. So they go do penance. And then Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa are produced. First Manu. and also the great sages, who are both two services to assist in the population propagation, but also to give transcendental knowledge. We'll hear some of that. To understand the duties of mankind and to instruct people in the duties, in their duties, the brahmanas. So they're brahmana sages. And one of them is Kardama. So Brahma approaches Kardama, please assist me. Kardama says, yes, sir. And he goes to the Bindu Sarovara by the bank of the Saraswati River, and he undergoes austerities for a long time, practicing the Yuga Dharma, dhyan, meditation, but fixed consciousness upon the Supreme Lord, who becomes so pleased by the devotion of Kardama Muni that he appears before him. It's very similar to Lord Vishnu appearing before Dhruva, standing, in this case, on the shoulders of Garuda with his arms flapping gently. And Lord Vishnu, with his forearms, the symbols of Vishnu in his hands, smiling broadly, his eyes glittering. This is a beautiful description. Yellow dhoti, glistening in the sun. Kardama is overwhelmed, needless to say, and he prostrates himself before Lord Vishnu, offers beautiful prayers. Lord Vishnu replies, indicating a number of things. You have pleased me very much by your devotion. Therefore I have come. I know your heart's desire, which is twofold. He wants to fulfill the request of his father, so he requires a qualified wife to assist him in that service to his father, which is a service to the Supreme Lord. And his other desire is he has vatsalya rasa. We were discussing rasa yesterday. So Kardama has that affection for the Supreme Lord, regarding the Supreme Lord as his son. Now there he is in his majestic feature, but he has this desire to have that same Supreme Lord as his son, which is a little inconceivable, isn't it? It's very high. Very high. He's falling at the feet of that person who he wishes to become his son. It's rasa. It's worldly inconceivable. But he has that. So I know your heart's desire, and it will be fulfilled. And he outlines what's going to happen next. 2 days from now, in this very spot, Swayambhuva Manu is going to come with his wife, Shatarupa, and they're going to propose that you marry their daughter. And here's her qualification. You should say yes. You will marry her. And 9 daughters, and I will appear as your daughters and your children. I'm going to appear as your son. He's like very explicit. And then he addresses something that's very important for devotees, particularly householders. How to go from sakkam bhakti to nishkam bhakti when you have desires. Very important. Essentially, it's submission to the instructions of the Personality of Godhead. One submits those desires to the direction and the will of the Supreme Lord, and by acting in that way, one's heart becomes fully purified And he says, you will attain me. You'll go back to Godhead. And he disappears. Kardama is filled with transcendental emotion out of gratitude to the Supreme Lord, knowing that his life of service is about to unfold. And sure enough, deep in the fort, this is at the beginning of Satya Yuga, where there's not no street lights, no mobile phones, no text messaging, just very simple. Deep in the forest comes Swayambhuva Manu, and then there's this exchange. And very, very important exchange for understanding so many things, understanding how to have a proper relationship with another personality, how a great personality has a proper relationship with another great personality. Specifically in this case, one is a Kshatriya, another is a Brahmana. Swayambhuva Manu is the Kshatriya. But he's received by the Brahmana, although the Brahmana is in the socially superior position, he receives Swayambhuva Manu as one might receive a superior. Although he's in the forest, with great honor and respect. And Swayambhuva Manu speaks first, Kardama Muni speaks first. He's the host of the guest who has come to his hermitage in the forest. And he speaks very wonderfully. He speaks about Swayambhuva Manu in particular. He speaks about the role of a qualified Kshatriya. And although I am a Brahmana, in other words, it's Brahmanas are to give direction to the Kshatriyas, I know that you've come here. He describes the duties and the qualities of a Kshatriya. Although I know you've come here for some reason, whatever it is, the answer is yes. Here's a blank check. Just put in the amount, sign, you know, my name is already signed there. Whatever it is, it's yours. And the chapter ends, chapter 21, ends with a purport where Prabhupada speaks of this Brahmakarya. Brahmakarya is where there is mutual regard and great respect and a proper dealing between the Brahmana and the Kshatriya and the Brahmana, vice versa, both. And when both are qualified and there's proper respect, then things can go very nicely. And if you don't have qualified persons or you don't have respect, then things can't go nicely. And then this chapter begins. So we're going to be reading verses 5 and 6. That the earlier verses, Kardama has greeted, and he becomes now silent, and Swayambhuva Manu begins speaking. Now he's the would-be father-in-law. If father-in-laws spoke to their son-in-laws like this, things would be very nice. Swayambhuva Manu says, you have instructed me very nicely. First he says that you, the Brahmana, so he's respecting the Brahmanas, then he starts respecting Kardama in particular. The Brahmanas are born from the face of the Supreme Lord. And They, the Brahmanas, are full of austerity, knowledge, mystic power, and are averse to sense gratification. That's, all of them are nice qualities, especially not only they like austerity. Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. They like austerity, they like knowledge, but they're averse to sense gratification. They like austerity, they're averse to sense gratification. That's the ground or the atmosphere in which knowledge arises naturally. Their inclination for knowledge is there, but the capacity to perceive and grasp proper knowledge is there from these two, austerity, that their wealth, and averse to sense gratification. And they, because of that, they have powers that ordinary people don't have. Specifically here, identified as mystic powers. So, you, Brahmanas as a group, are very special in relation to the Supreme Lord and in relation to all of the other members of society. We, the Kshatriyas, have a service unto you, the Brahmanas. That's the service given to us by the Supreme Lord. As you're born from the face or the head of the Supreme Lord, we're born from the arms of the Supreme Lord, his universal form. And it is our duty to give protection to the Brahmanas, to protect in the sense of with uphold, like you know this from your first canto, Prabhupada's phrase is protection of Brahminical culture, or upholding of Brahminical culture. Those that are administrators, Kshatriyas by type, are to support and uphold and protect Brahminical culture. So you're laudable, we're serving and protecting you. And then, just the verse just before this morning's, again, this cooperation between and mutual respect between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. That is why the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves. And the Lord himself, who is both the cause and effect and is yet immutable, protects them through each other. Beautiful verse. And in the long purport, Prabhupada uses the word cooperation about 8 times. Each have a role. Very important role, very important role. And they respect the very important role. And one protects the other, and the other protects the one. And both, they are both protected by the Supreme Lord by his arrangement that they protect one another. Although the functions are different. So there are very nice ways to spoil that system. Very practical ways. Just put in some poison and the whole thing is spoiled. Bodily identification is one. Pride is another. Misusing authority. Misusing power. Like, you know, from the first canto, the Kali begins when the Brahmana Sringi misuses Brahminical power. And he curses the king. Or when the king misuses his power, or so-called king, Kali, in the dress of a king, is breaking the legs of a bull. When power is misused. But the trace back, why is it that power is misused? What's the consciousness behind power misused? In many places, Prabhupada writes, it's pride. One who is proud It's the discussion, contemplation by Narada of Nalakuvera and Manigriva about their abominable condition. Intoxicated, shameless, fallen. And within their heart he sees pride. And the pride is, our father is very dear to Lord Shiva and Kuvera. And our father is rich, and we're his sons, and we inherit the property of our father. So, in his contemplation, Narada says, this pride is very debilitating. All good qualities are destroyed with pride. And when one is proud, then he explains one can do any harmful thing. I think it's okay because I'm a big deal. I can do what I like. Pride destroys others in a very hurtful way. So when a brahmana uses the brahminical power, or a kshatriya uses kshatriya power in a inappropriate manner, the discussion in Mahabharata, the contemplation of should there be war, and the contemplation that says no because for their various reasons. Ultimately, the trump reason is that the overriding reason is that Krishna wanted it. Then it's religious war. Anyway, Dharma protects one from pride. If one properly follows, at least the opportunity is there to properly to become, because pride, where does pride come from? If hurtful dealings come from pride, that's Narada's analysis. Where does pride come from? It's seeing things, just like the discussion yesterday evening, seeing things separate from Krishna. You have something, and it's not connected to Krishna. You're proud of it. You have some wealth. You have some intelligence. You have some strength. You have some influence. You have some ability. Whatever it is. And I'm proud of that. It's mine. And I can use it for my purpose. It's interest separate from the interest of the Lord. So, the brahmana is not only to teach how things should be used, you know, sambandhagyan, what's the relationship of all things with the Supreme Lord, so that cuts the misconception that things exist separate from the Supreme Lord, cuts maya. But then the practical application of that, jnanavijnanam, how to apply. This says Bhishma Dev is taking the role of instructing Yudhisthira how to perform the duties of a king, because the king has to see that all people are engaged in their prescribed duties. So what are the prescribed duties? What's the relationship of all things with the source of all things, and how to utilize according to one's position, psychophysical position, varna and ashram position, use those things in service to Krishna. A king has to have that wisdom. The brahmana has to know, but doesn't have to administrate. The kshatriya has to know and has to administrate. And when one administrates, there's a tendency to get attached. It's not that if one doesn't administrate, then one's not going to be attached. One can be attached in other ways, attached to pride or, you know, something. One who is not qualified may have that tendency. So, society, this is a theme in the whole of the Bhagavatam. Again, first canto, it's there over and over again. society requires these two: qualified Brahmana, qualified Kshatriya, Kshatriya guided by the Brahmana. Obviously, it also requires qualified Vaishyas. Without production of food grains and necessities, it's difficult. But the Vaishyas are to be guided by the Brahmanas and administered by the Kshatriyas. And then the sutras, and then we have the whole of the social body. So this is two. This is the beginning of the Visarga part of creation, and here's these two very, very qualified Kshatriya Brahmana personalities exchanging. So the emphasis in this preceding verse is the importance of cooperation from respect, cooperation by seeing the other person with proper regard. Again, here's Kardama Muni holding Swayambhuva Manu with high regard. And here's Swayambhuva Manu holding Kardama Muni with high regard. That's proper. And then, on that basis, cooperation with one another. This has this function, that has that function, and full cooperation with one another based upon proper regard and proper respect. Ultimately, it's the Supreme Lord who's orchestrating all of this. Intermediately, there's the fulfillment of duties in a proper way, but ultimately it's purification to go back home, back to Godhead, otherwise one doesn't need to come to this place. So while in this place, we do our duties properly so we can go back to Godhead, or assist Krishna in his pleasure pastimes in the spiritual world. Then, so that's all background, text 5, Swayambhuva Manu says to Kardama, "Now, I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you, for your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects." In the short purport, Prabhupada emphasizes sadhu sangha. Manu says it, Lord Chaitanya said it, later Kapila Dev says it in this third canto, chapter 25, the process of devotional service. There's 8 verses, sometimes known as sadhu sangastaka, very nice verses that are emphasizing the importance of sadhu sangha. So the kshatriya is looking upon the brahmana as that, or Swayambhuva Manu is looking upon Kardama Muni, who is going to be his son-in-law, as sadhu sangha. I've become purified just by being in your association and hearing your instructions or what are my duties. He hasn't told him this is your duty, that's your duty. He's describing the glories of a kshatriya. How glorious, how fortunate I am that you have come here. You are this and you are that. It's similar to, he's taking it that Kardama Muni is instructing him. Kardama Muni is honoring him. Because of his humility, he's taking it that Kardama Muni is instructing me. This is how I should do my duties. You follow? Different example. There's a transcription, more or less, of a Vyasa Puja lecture given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If only we had digital recordings of Bhaktisiddhanta's talks, video recordings of his speaking. How fortunate that would be. In any case, he, after hearing, you know, the eulogies of him, he thanks them. First he says, you know, one might think that what is this big dog sitting on a big seat listening to himself being glorified? Such a mentality, such a bestial mentality. How ugly. But actually, I understand that the way that you are speaking, you are instructing me how I should perform my duties. I should become all of these things that you are saying, that I am. You are very kindly instructing me. These are his disciples. Bhaktisiddhanta, speaking in that way. So similarly, Swami Bhuvamadu is saying, your glorification is very nice. I'm not taking it as glorification. You're instructing me how I should do my duties, and from those words and your association, I'm now purified. I'm very clear what my duties are. Prabhupada refers to his own example. The words of Manu are true. By sadhu sangha, one can become purified. In my own life, the first time I met Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariyojakacharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, on first sight he requested this humble self to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the Western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other he desired it. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Thus, it is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life's mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. Therefore, it is enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man, because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. One time a devotee, early in the Hare Krishna movement, very enthusiastic, kind of a leader type person, found himself in a patch of time where he was struggling, and he went away. And he was gone for some time. And he came back. And he was crying before Prabhupada. Prabhupada, it was so difficult, and I was struggling, and I'm so ashamed. And Prabhupada said, don't you know that with one kick of my boot, I can rid you of all those difficulties? Please don't ever go away again. One can become, the concluding sentences, Manu says that he became free from doubts, samshaya, doubts. And it's, doubts is not doubts about ideas or even doubts about oneself. It's if the connection with Krishna is strong, the Krishna channel is strong, then darkness is gone. Darkness is fearful, so fear and doubt and uncertainty is gone. He's expressing that's what he's just experienced. And he's an avatar. Manvantara avatar. By the association of Karna Muni, now my samshaya, my doubt is gone. Just by your association. Text 6. It is my good fortune that I have been able to see you, for you cannot be seen easily by persons who have not subdued the mind or controlled the senses. I am all the more fortunate to have touched with my head the blessed dust of your feet. So the purport is discussing several things. This mysterious dust of the lotus feet notion, which Jad Bharat says is how he became, how Jad Bharat qualified. Prahlad Maharaj uses this same expression. Rajobhishekam, performed abhishek, take the dust and perform abhishek with dust to sanctify, purify, elevate. Just like the Ganges is touched by the lotus feet of Vamana and thus is sacred. Of course, it was sacred before, even before the causal ocean. But touching the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, then it sanctifies, it is sanctified, and it sanctifies whatever it touches. And while I was in China, before coming here to India, there was a nice discussion in the section that we were reading from in the Bhagavatam, where it's the Jad Bharat discussion with Rahugana, where Prabhupada explains receiving the dust and what that means. It means service. It's a mood of service because, and the sense of humility before a qualified person. It's not figurative only. It's not like, you know, a euphemism, something, just an interesting set of words that really, it doesn't mean it literally. It means it literally, but one honors and thus serves the dust of the feet of a saintly person. Again, the operative message is, or principle is, service. Kaliya also got the dust of Krishna's feet, but he wasn't in a nice service mood. So he had to get his head bashed beyond recognition, just smashed and smashed and smashed and smashed and smashed, smashed. And then he became purified. Krishna was very kind. He smashed him. This principle, so what's being taught by Manu in the Bhagavatam is, here is this great personality. He's direct son of Lord Brahma. He's going to be in this capacity of Manu, ruling the universe, He's an avatar, one of the six kinds of avatars of the Supreme Lord. And he's wanting the dust. He's placing his head at the feet of Kardama Muni to sanctify his existence. So, say it backwards. One may be qualified or not qualified. One may be highly situated or not highly situated. It doesn't change the principle. Even more so, those who are qualified understand the principle of the necessity of receiving mercy. And a kshatriya looks to a brahmana. In our manner of disciplic succession, we look to our previous acharyas. We look for that mercy. This is a theme in Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It's not only Lord Chaitanya's teachings. The other acharyas of the other disciplic succession, same teachings. To serve the Vaishnavas. When Lord Chaitanya, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, he wrote a whole book about it, about the four sampradayas. It's a wonderful book. And, you know, he gives the list of all of their disciplic line for each of the sampradayas. It gives the essential teachings of each of the sampradayas. It gives a little biography of the founders of each of these sampradayas, the four. It compares them, what's similar to Lord Chaitanya's teachings and their teachings. And he writes that Lord Chaitanya, appearing after each of these four, extracted two principles from each of the four to make his teachings, to unify his emphasis in this text and in thematically in his teachings, was rather than emphasize the differences, because there are differences, what is essential for them all and how Lord Chaitanya wished to unify. So he, Bhaktisiddhanta, wished to follow Lord Chaitanya and bring unity amongst the diversity. And those of you that have been to Mayapur, you know, the place where Bhaktisiddhanta made his headquarters at the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math. There's the Gandharvakat Giridhari temple, deities that he personally selected. It's a beautiful story. He was in Jaipur looking for deities. And he was very particular. And he looked and looked, and days went by. One evening, a murti maker had a dream. And in his dream, he said that the deity, that one of the sets of deities in his murti shop appeared in his dream and said, tomorrow morning, early, when Sada was going to come, I want to be worshipped by him. Please make the arrangement. So next morning, Bhaktisiddhanta came. He didn't know about the dream, he just was looking at murtis. And the shop owner said, so you are that sadhu, they're yours, just take them. So Gandharvaka Giridhari is the name of the deities. And the temple has on four places murtis of the four sampradaya acharyas, because it was a foundation message of Bhaktisiddhanta. Lord Chaitanya came to unify this diversity. So in Ramanujacharya's teachings, the two that are emphasized, or from his, in his teachings, similarly emphasized by Lord Chaitanya, is service to the Vaishnavas. Same as we're finding here. Manu, taking dust from the feet of the sadhu, in this case, his son-in-law. Brahmana, the qualified Brahmana. Lord Chaitanya's teachings given to us by Rupa Goswami, this is one of the five most potent services or activities of bhakti, service to the Vaishnavas. And service to the Vaishnavas doesn't just mean, you know, somebody way up there. Service to the Vaishnavas. You're all Vaishnavas. And the respect amongst one another should be there, that this is a principle that Lord Chaitanya gave us by which we, if we do without offense, we can experience bhava bhakti. Just even that one thing, without offense, small matter, without offense, but it is so potent. And so Prabhupada is using his own life as an example of that. He goes on with Judd Bharat. When Maharaj Rahugana asked Judd Bharat about his wonderful achievement of spiritual success, Judd Bharat replied to the king that spiritual success is not possible simply by following the rituals of religion or simply by converting oneself into a sannyasi or offering sacrifices as recommended in the scripture. These methods are undoubtedly helpful for spiritual realization, but the real effect is brought about by the grace of Mahatma. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's 8 stanzas, a prayer to the spiritual master, it is clearly stated that simply by satisfying the spiritual master, one can achieve the supreme success in life. And in spite of executing all ritualistic performances, if one cannot satisfy the spiritual master, one has no access to spiritual perfection. Hear the word, akritat. Akritat manam is very significant. Atma means body, soul, and mind, and akritatma means the common man who cannot control the senses or the mind. Because the common man is unable to control the senses and the mind, it is his duty to seek the shelter of a great soul or great devotee of the Lord and just try to please him. That will make his life perfect. A common man cannot rise to the topmost stage of spiritual perfection simply by following the rituals and religious principles. He has to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and work under his direction faithfully and sincerely. Then he becomes perfect, without a doubt. So Manu is saying like that. I mean, he hasn't yet explained or expressed why he's come, because the Kardava Muni said, I'm sure there's a reason why you come. But whatever it is, the answer is yes. So he hasn't stated his reason. He's just appreciating what he's experienced by having come. I've gotten your association. I've heard your words. I've gotten the dust from your lotus feet. I'm feeling fully purified and sanctified. So as that reference is made in this purport to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, the last of our prayers to the spiritual master that he wrote. I'll end with just sharing something of my preparation for the Vrindavan Yatra that's coming. One of the places that we're going to visit is the Gokulananda temple. It's not a Radha Gokulananda temple, it's a Gokulananda temple. Is that Gokulananda is the deity that was worshipped by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he has a fantastic biography of his life. While in China, I was teaching Madhurya Kandambani, to the Chinese devotees. It was really a nice experience. Written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So a whole day, I mean, a whole session, almost a two-hour session, was just dedicated to describing his life. Very fascinating. Great personality. But how did he become a great personality? This principle of dedication to his spiritual master. So here's a nice translation of, you know, the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana, and his commentary in Bhagavad Gita on that verse. You read about it in 241 Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned. Prabhupada, when he was at the Radha Damodar temple, before he came to the West, he was preparing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. He was resourcing or accessing Baladeva and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries and others. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, this Vyavasayatmika Buddhi becomes possible by having implicit faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. So here's a translation, an English translation of his commentary on this point. The best kind of intelligence, Buddhi, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, the best kind of intelligence I can have is intelligence used in devotional service. Intelligence can be called fixed when it is focused upon my spiritual master's instructions, such as chanting the holy names, remembering the Lord's activities, and performing service to his lotus feet. My spiritual master's instructions are my sadhana and my life, both in the beginning stages of bhakti as well as in bhakti's perfectional stage. I desire only to follow his instructions. I accept nothing else as my life's work, even in dreams. Whether I am happy or distressed, whether the material world remains or is destroyed, I don't care. There is no loss for me. I must simply carry out the orders of my spiritual master. So, we've heard this, the Prabhupada's teaching. His expression is that the instructions of the spiritual master are my life and soul. And Prabhupada's life, I mean, frankly, why we're here, we wouldn't be here. We would be doing something else somewhere else if it weren't for Prabhupada's implicit faith in the instruction of a spiritual master to do Mission Impossible. He had implicit faith in the words of his spiritual master, which was Mission Impossible. But we hear this statement within the instructions of the spiritual master, the capacity to carry it out. Again, a little appreciation from Sri Brahma Samhita. Within instructions, there's a potency. It's the Lord's potency called Ichha Shakti. In the Damodar Lila, this is the month of Damodar, we sing the Damodar Astakam, and Mother Jasoda is unable to bind Krishna. So she gets more rope. And it's still 2 inches too short, so she gets more rope, and it's still 2 inches too short, she gets more rope, and it's still 2 inches too short. Jiva Goswami gives in his commentary the reason why. He says, because the Lord was exhibiting two potencies, Sva Shakti and Ichha Shakti. Ichha Shakti is his own desire, Ichha. Like Ichha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohina Bharata. Ichha means desire. He didn't want to be bound. He wanted to go back to the storeroom and get more butter and yogurt and eat it and give it to the monkeys. That's what Krishna wanted to do. That's his Ichha Shakti. And Swashakti. Who can overcome Krishna's own potency? But when Krishna saw the submissive devotion in parental affection, he withdrew those two potencies and exhibited another potency, Kripa Shakti. And then he was bound. He was bound by the love of Mother Jasoda. So with the, similarly, with the purpose of creation, this is a Sri Brahma Samhita lesson. Read it with your dictionary very carefully, and Bhaktisiddhanta explains. When the Lord glanced, Mahavishnu glanced over Pradhan, the living entities and the time energy went with the glance. Yes? You've heard that. Then he explains, Bhaktisiddhanta explains, the time energy has two parts. Ichha Shakti and Kriya Shakti, the force of activity, and the Lord's will. So with the Lord's will, anything can happen. So similarly, through instructions, the Lord's Ichha Shakti is there. And therefore, if we take the instructions seriously, we can carry them out because the Lord's Ichha Shakti is there. Just like Prabhupada had faith, take this message. It's mission impossible. But the Lord's Ichha Shakti is there. And so it's possible. And it's accessible for one who has faith, and not accessible for one who doesn't have faith. It's not based upon false ego, I'm going to do it. My guru said it, so I'm going to do it. Here I come, look out. Whoa, whoa. Not like that. Faith in the person, faith in the message that it's coming from Krishna. And the Lord's instruction is the representative of the Lord's instruction. And the potency is there to carry it out. If we don't have that regard, if we don't have that respect and regard for the line that goes to Krishna, then is the potency going to be there? Is the faith going to be there? Is the effect going to be there? One can do. One can do so many things, like as being described in relation to Jad Bharat speaking to Rahugana. One can do rituals and one can do things. But the goal, the perfection that's meant to be achieved through those things will not be received unless there is this proper regard in the line of disciplic succession through which the message is coming. Must be there. Must be there. Must be there. Must be there. It's not optional. So, Swayambhu Vamanu is feeling really empowered by his son-in-law's words. You've instructed me very nicely. Your association has been provided. The dust from your lotus feet has come. I'm ready to carry out my duties as Manu, as the emperor of the universe, protector of mankind and all living entities within the universe. Pretty big service. One needs descending mercy for that. So there's our message for the morning. Any comments or questions? Why did Queen Kunti not accept obeisances from Lord Krishna, though Yudhisthira could accept? And why Mother Yashoda is trying to catch Krishna with a stick? Well, she wasn't trying to catch him with a stick. Was bewildering to Kunti, though Kunti is the success potency of Krishna. Well, it has to do with rasa. Yudhisthira was the elder cousin. Kunti was the mother. So both are in the superior position. But the closeness, the affection of the Pandavas was very, very special. Kunti, we can say from this, the it's like the in Vrindavan, the intimacy with Krishna, the Madhurya feature of intimacy with Krishna is so prevalent, it eclipses the Aishwarya feature. Yes? You've heard that before. And then going out in the Swetadweep portion, surrounding in Mathura, and then Dwaraka, there is Madhurya is less, Aishwarya is stronger. In Dwaraka, Aishwarya is even stronger, Madhurya is less. And then by Kunta, it's Aishwarya. So as one goes inward towards Braja, Aishwarya becomes less important. Madhurya becomes more important. So the Pandavas, Yudhisthira and Arjun, were so intimate. What does Arjun say in Bhagavad Gita? I treated you wrongly, because seeing, understanding Krishna's position as God, he wasn't previously seeing his position as God, because Madhurya was stronger. They're friends. So they would sit together and talk together and lie down together and associate very, not a reverential way, but in a friendly way, where Aishwarya was less prominent and Sakya, friendship, was stronger. So that's, Kunti has more majesty regard for Krishna than Yudhisthira. So Yudhisthira was able to accept Krishna's obeisances, and although he knew, as we heard, we knew his position. He knew his position. And now Braja. Mother Yashoda didn't have a clue about Krishna's divinity. She couldn't, even when Krishna showed her within his mouth everything, and holding up Govardhan Hill and so many other things. She had every reason, within reason. So reason was eclipsed by her affection, the sweetness. And so Mother Yashoda didn't see Krishna as God. Kunti saw Krishna as God. And so why Krishna was afraid of Mother Yashoda, and the little, it's not just a little lati, like a little skinny stick. Not like, big thick baseball bat or something. Little. And he cried. Out of fear. And he felt it. Fear. It's bewildering to Queen Kunti. It's bewildering to us. It wasn't just play acting. He was afraid. He it's part of his loving dealing with Mother Jasoda. So she threw the stick down because she didn't want Krishna to cry. But she still wanted to bind him. It's the answer is it's rasa. The intimacy of Mother Jasoda is vastly superior to the intimacy of Kunti, and one can say the intimacy of Yudhisthira and Arjuna with Krishna is even more than that of Kunti. And it's just, you know, there yeyatamam prapadyante. As one regards Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. And there's all variety, and so there's variety. There's happiness, there's enjoyment within variety. And Krishna doesn't direct us, you should have this variety and you should have that variety and you gotta have, don't go over there, you gotta have this one. It's just naturally full of variety. And Krishna reciprocates with everyone perfectly, according to one's regard for him. Anything else?